Danny.
Joined.
Robert Guerra.
Joined.
Hello there, Robert. Just you and I on the call. It's Danny.
Oh, hi, Danny. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Thanks for sending. I'm just catching up on email, so thanks for sending the executive compensation email. I'm curious to see how many people react to it.
Yeah. What I found particularly interesting was the fact that we wound up paying Denise Michelle's good friend, Miriam Shapiro, some $80,000 in consultation fees.
Oh,
and to the best of my understanding, the only work she did during that calendar year was that aborted guide to domain names that we discussed earlier, which was a horrible piece of writing. So, I see them just throwing about money in a wanton fashion.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that it, you know, I mean, I think just in the context of what happened last week, I think it makes it more relevant as well.
Darlene,
I mean,
joined.
You know, hi, Darlene. This is Robert just having a pre-chat with Danny.
Excellent.
One of the questions that came up, I'm not sure if it was here on the one of the other discussions, I think it was with the reviewers, just kind of the relevance of, you know, at large in general and how we can hold these people accountable or not. And I think that's kind of a test to see if, you know, who's following that and how we react to things like that, whether we can, you know, really do anything or not. And so, you know, the mechanisms and how people respond, I think would be interesting to see. I think the climate has changed, and, you know, the climate of accountability is far more serious now than it was a couple weeks back.
Robert, will you be taking in the Washington IIC session?
I don't know yet. It's the 31st, right?
No, I got moved up to the 1st, actually.
I might. I can't tell yet. I might be there that day or the following day, so I might be able to make it.
All right, because that would be helpful to have enough of us down there.
Hi, Darlene. How are you?
No, not too bad. How about you?
Swamped, and it's only Monday.
There you go.
All right, I did not expect everybody to read my 54-page report in the half an hour before I submitted it. So,
yeah, a brief synopsis would have been good.
we can get to that at a later point, but at least most of the groundwork has been laid out anyway on the topic. Darlene, do you know if we're getting Evan on schedule this time around?
No, we're supposed to. He said he was really busy about an hour ago, but he sounded like he was going to be here. He better.
All right. And as we have no other people that are running for the office, are we still going to go through a formal election process, or what do you think?
No. No, we figured if we didn't get any nominations or volunteers, there's just no point. And Bo said that he would stand again, so we figured we'd just get him in by acclamation. What do you
think?
Sounds
good. All right.
We believe in keeping it simple.
I would still go through the formality of saying that, you know, with no other candidates, that we just kind of approve it.
Well, yeah, I've been,
yeah, it's going to be announced here during the meeting, and then I was going to do an email.
Evan Leibovich.
Hey, Evan.
Joined.
Hello, everyone.
And hello, everyone, from me.
Hello, Evan.
Hello.
Is there a Skype chat for this?
Possibly the same one. Let me dredge up the same one we've been using before. Alan, do you see it?
I see a hi there.
Okay,
I see the chat. Yep.
Who else we got so far?
Myself, Robert, Danny, that's it.
Okay. Well, not good, but we can work with it. I guess we can give a few more minutes. I'm not one to complain about people showing up a minute or two late. As a matter of fact, you notice for this meeting they didn't put the phone numbers in.
They did. It was a separate link on the wiki page. That's how I found it.
Oh. Does that have to do with?
Yeah, you? Right up at the top it says, "How can I participate in this meeting?" And if you click on that, then you get the Adigo stuff.
Oh. Okay, that's actually a smarter way to do this.
Indeed.
I actually put this number in the one used by the GNSO in my telephone number book, so I don't have to look them up each time, given that they never change.
Oh, the codes stay the same?
On this one, it always is.
At large has always been, I think, the 1638.
Yeah, in English.
Joined.
Hey, it's Bo Brendler. How y'all doing?
Hi, Bo.
Hi, Bo.
Hello.
Okay. Evan,
I put a note on the agenda page, a comment, since I couldn't edit it, which if you haven't seen it, you can look at it before you start.
Yeah, that was on the RGP, right? Or was there a second note? Okay, that's it.
Sorry, I'm looking on this page right now. Which one are you talking about, Danny?
There's a comment at the bottom.
Oh, the guest user one?
No.
Yeah, there should be two. Well, there should be two comments there. One from guest user and Alan's comment.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think Cheryl's with us.
I don't think so. Is she supposed to be?
No. Well.
Did my comment imply she was?
You said Danny and Cheryl can speak about the current status.
Well, that's not what I meant to write. Let me see what I... I am working on the issue of RDP with Danny and Cheryl, and I can speak about the current status.
Yay.
Hey, never mind. I read it wrong.
Eduardo Diaz.
Joined.
Hello, Eduardo.
Hello, who is this? Evan.
Yes, that was Evan.
Oh, okay. Hi.
Well, it's 4 after the hour. You figure we might as well start now?
Okay. Is there anyone you were expecting who isn't here?
Well, without Danny on this call, I figured it was going to be extremely short. But the rest of us are all here by, you know.
What about staff?
Sorry?
Staff. I can't staff? Will they
those who take the minutes.
Actually,
I usually take the minutes and it's just automatically recorded, so that's your 2 hits there.
Yeah, I think they've been relying on Darlene for the last little while.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, last few months at least.
The recording's automatic. We don't have to start it?
Well, when I joined in, they still hadn't had the subscriber on the call yet.
The same was true for me.
Yeah.
But they let me on anyway.
Okay, I'm sending a quick ping to Nick, reminding him about the call, and to let him know there's no staff on it.
Gareth Sherman.
Joined.
Hello, Gareth.
Hey, Gary.
Hi there. Greetings from Vernon, D.C.
What you doing in Vernon?
Oh, just on a bit of a holiday.
Cool.
Okay, so, all right, I've just sent a brief Skype ping to Nick, who usually responds to things reasonably well, and I don't see any other staff online on Skype, even though they usually are when they're around. Kieran is, but I don't think he'll be much help. Anyway, okay.
It is 9 o'clock at night there.
I've seen Nick online at all sorts of weird hours. His waking hours are almost as
I don't deny that, but he's not necessarily obliged to. if he doesn't remember there's something going on.
Picky. Okay, let's not take any more of you guys' valuable time, and let's plow, if we can, into the minutes of this. Essentially, this is a continuation of the meeting that we had on September 8th, where we had an awful lot of things to discuss and a number of different issues that have been raised, notably by Danny, that we did not do justice to in the last meeting. So, does anybody have any comments on those things? Right now, we're talking about... the redemption grace
Seth
period.
Reese.
Sorry?
Joined.
Oh, hi, Seth.
Hey, am I late or what?
Fashionably late, I guess. We're just getting
into
the agenda.
You guys just started at a few minutes
Nick.
Ago?
Joined.
Yeah. All right.
Hello, everyone. Sorry to be late.
Hi, did you come in before or after you got my Skype ping?
Just now.
Ah, okay. Anyway, if you go to your screen, you'll see a little reminder from me.
All right. Yeah, sorry about that.
Okay. All right. So we're just getting into the mentioning that this is a continuation of the meeting that was started on the 8th, where we had a number of issues that we did not get a chance to get into sufficiently. And especially now that Danny is here for the duration of the call, we'll be able to deal with them because a number of these are... initiated by Danny, and I'm glad he's done it. And so some of these are important. And actually, what I'm going to do is skip to the very quickest thing and bring it to the beginning of the list, which is item 4, which is the election announcement. And that is that, as you know, every year there's an election within Narello to elect our rep to the ALAC board. And the elections were called, and we only had one nomination. And so the nomination period is closed. And so I'm happy to announce that, Bo, you're stuck with us now for another 2 years. Congratulations.
Well, I wouldn't say it is stuck. Thank you very much. I should also mention to everybody that I've actually spent about 5 years in Alaska, but any comparisons that might occur after that with Palin, Ms. Palin, end there. So that's my political statement for today.
You should have told us that before we had an opportunity to identify someone else.
And we're going to double your salary.
Oh, good. Great.
Can you see Russia from your house, then?
No, but I did stand on the international dateline once when it was...
Ooh.
Okay.
Congratulations, Bo. I second the announcement if we need a seconder.
Well,
thanks.
It's simply a matter of news. The nomination period has come and gone, and everyone is so happy with the work you've been doing, Bo, that nobody else wanted to challenge you. So please take that. No, I mean that actually in all seriousness.
Well, thank you. That's very kind. I appreciate it.
Okay. So... with that out of the way, I'd like to get to some of the other issues that have been raised that we want to deal with. And some of these are for some important issues that basically ICANN needs to deal with. And Danny's brought it to these things to our attention. Some of them are other things that folks like Bo have been working on, such as the RAA. And so I'd like to... deal with some of these things and find out what further action we need to deal with and maybe get some updates on what ALAC may have been doing themselves. In the order that they came from the meeting of the 8th, the first one has to do with an email that Danny sent to the mailing list called Restoring the Safety Net on the Redemption Grace Period. And Danny, could you give a very quick summary for those that probably may have read that letter but may have read it maybe back in August when you first sent it?
Sure. The redemption grace period is a period of time in which they pretty much shut the lights on a domain name's resolution in order to wake a registrar up to the fact that his domain is expiring, and this is his last chance opportunity to redeem it. As such, it's really a true safety net that happens after the formal expiration period at the end of the normal domain name cycle. The problem, of course, is that this particular redemption grace period was never established as a consensus policy. It was simply created as a registry offering, which registrars may or may not decide to utilize. Over the course of time, it's become apparent that very few registrars have picked up on using the RGP, and that even those that have formally put it in place have found ways to thwart it, such as by honoring back orders for a domain name from somebody else, rather than allowing the registrant to proceed with his redemption. So my call is basically for the ALAC to initiate a policy development process through the GNSO and to examine whether the time is now appropriate to consider making this a consensus policy as opposed to only a registry initiative.
Okay. Does anyone have any news to add to that?
Yep.
Okay.
Alan?
Danny, does this relate to the petition information that you sent out today?
There are some overlapping areas.
Okay. For those of you that didn't see it, Danny sent out information earlier today regarding a petition that is sent out, and I may have misread it, but it seemed like you mentioned that it was about expired domain names, so I assume that it might have had some relation to the redemption period.
Yeah, there is a direct tie-in there. Basically, the public is getting dissatisfied with the fact that costs for obtaining expired domain names are unduly exorbitant.
Okay. If this is the case, I mean, do we want to take it beyond this in the sense that, Danny, is there something you want from us beyond simply passing a motion to request AILAC make this a PDP?
At this point, no. Alan should have matters well in hand at this point with Cheryl to help make that a reality, and I'll leave it up to Alan to discuss what steps have been taken at his end.
Alan?
Okay. The item was on the last AILAC meeting agenda. Unfortunately, we badly ran out of time and didn't come to it. Following that meeting, I've had a number of discussions with Danny and with Cheryl and a bunch of other people, and it looks like there is, as Danny points out, some interest in making it a consensus policy. That is, we wouldn't be standing alone if we were to initiate it. And at this point, I need to talk to Danny to get a little bit of specific technical information, which I don't have. But you should be seeing a notice from me real soon, like within a day or so of now, to indicate that the AILAC is interested in it and soliciting soliciting input and interest in working on the process.
How different is the process from the one that was used to initiate the whole domain tasting PDP?
Pretty close to the same. We're looking at the same sort of process, you know. It depends on what kind of interest we get right now. But assuming we get a bit of interest, then the AILAC requests an issues report. The request for an issues report has to be a substantive enough document that it ensures that the answers we get are the ones that are necessary to initiate a PDP within the GNSO. There seems to be enough support within the GNSO to assure that it will go that route. As last time, there could be some intervening working groups or things like that within the GNSO, but it looks good at this point.
And we should probably also expect letters of support from different constituent groups as well.
Yeah. And
is it safe to say that within the GNSO that maybe only the registrars is the only constituency that would have a problem with this?
I wouldn't predict that.
Okay, based on...
But the threshold for approving a PDP is quite low. So I don't think there would be a problem. Assuming the AILAC formally decides to go ahead, I think we will get support from at least some constituencies, both formal and informal.
And in fact, I think the threshold is only 25%.
Yeah.
So. Okay. So, Danny, can I ask you to make a motion?
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead, Alan.
Go ahead.
Sorry, who said can I ask a question?
It's Nick here.
Oh.
Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
I just am curious. What is the objective that this is designed to do? Is the objective that if this all went through and a consensus policy was developed, is the objective that names would become freely circulating again?
No. The objective is that if you inadvertently let your name expire, for a modest sum, you can get it back within a certain period of time after the expiry. And no one else can get it during that time.
And this is Eduardo, so that means that what we're doing here is going to be like a standard thing for everybody, right?
Correct.
Well, no.
Go ahead.
Firstly, it's important to understand, asking for an issues report does not start a policy development process. It means that a report gets sent.
I think that's understood, Nick.
Well, I've heard a couple of people say things that didn't sound like that at all.
Okay.
Secondly, you know, for what it's worth, I'm in the process of arranging two briefings on this subject because I'm convinced that very few people have anything like the knowledge that Danny does of this. And I hope everybody understands.
Do we know when those briefings are?
They'll be within the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
Certainly before the Cairo meeting. And if you like, we can also repeat them at the Cairo meeting for those who will not be available. I've actually suggested that they should be workshops to deal with the fact that there are several proposals that have been made related to the balance of interest between registrars and those who make money off of domain registrations and registrants, and the balance between everyone who doesn't own a domain name and the system of using and registering domain names. Because I think you all have to understand that you're going to be confronted with people who will ask you to explain precisely why you're recommending this. And if there isn't some reasonable knowledge behind it, you won't be able to advocate effectively for what you're advocating for. I'm not suggesting that you shouldn't advocate for something. All I'm saying is that you may wish to understand it very well before you advocate for it, because then you'll be able to defend the position you're taking more effectively. I mean, Danny's knowledge is great, but I wouldn't pretend to have his knowledge, and I doubt anyone else would either.
He won't
be in Cairo, so.
Well, I'm just going based on a couple of things. Most notable, the letter that he sent out to the North American RALO list in August, where he, I think, did a fairly good job of explaining the basics behind why this was being called for in the first place. There are specific examples of people who, like, seconds after their domain name expires, it's immediately absconded by somebody else. In some cases, maybe the registrar themselves. So,
I mean, that's why I asked that question. Just so you know, is the objective to introduce? You know, I think everybody knows now that very few names circulate. Once they're registered, once they are registered permanently by someone, one way or another. And if the objective is in part to ensure that it is actually possible to get names which are dropped as a normal bloke, as a normal person.
No, that is not the intention of this.
No, the intention, as I see it, is simply to realize that back in 2002, essentially promises were made to the registrant community saying, look, we're going to look out for your best interests. We're going to protect you against an inadvertent loss of your domain name. We simply want to institutionalize those promises now by way of consensus policy rather than by a registry offering which does not require registrars to adopt the offering.
Yeah, all registries that are affected, I believe all, one I'm not sure about, already offer the registry service. It's just not used by the registrars.
Okay.
So, Nick, I think we're fairly clear in our understanding, and any fine points I intend to go over with Alan in the next day or two so that we can hone the language in the
For what it's
motion.
Worth, if you like, I can have the staff finish a note that they had prepared for me, because there was actually a fair bit more to this story, to be honest, from the perspective of the services staff.
Well, I still think that it's useful to have a briefing that would be usable by the public. But in the meantime, here we are supposedly as the reps from the ALSs and the RALO that's supposed to advance this kind of thing. So I would like to advance this, at least see this through to a motion.
Evan, it has been advanced.
So
it was already on the ALAC agenda.
So are we basically saying in a motion here that NARALO wants to endorse this and urge ALAC to move?
I thought NARALO already had endorsed it. That's what was on the ALAC agenda. If you hadn't, you probably should have, but my understanding was it was already endorsed.
I think what happened was is I had a conversation with Cheryl, because the last NARALO meeting was the day before the ALAC meeting.
Right.
And so I think I had a conversation with her making sure that it would be on the agenda in the anticipation we would have dealt with it at the last meeting. We did not.
Then let's deal with it really quick.
Okay.
Before we go, Nick, in answer to your question, if you have some document right now which is ready or semi-ready or in draft form, a copy of it would be nice.
Well, it's not ready, because it was part of the preparations for the briefings that
Well, as soon as it's ready, so much the better.
Well, the reality is it's not going to be ready instantly, and so won't be able to inform what we're talking about here now.
Evan, in terms of emotion, then I would say the Norello endorses the notion of consensus policy being established to govern the operation of the redemption grace period, something along those lines.
I would take everything you said. I just take out the word notion of, just make it sharper.
Okay, fine.
Can you repeat that back to me so I get it for the notes? The Norello endorses the motion of consensus policy. What?
Or is it that we're asking ALAC to initiate the PDP, right?
Correct.
To ask for an issues report, which may or may not initiate the PDP. Yes.
Okay, so we're asking for the issues report.
And to, wait a minute, wait. Alan, could we talk about this for a second?
We
also have the obligation to communicate a request to the GNSO that we are interested in having a PDP started?
I would suggest, for a variety of reasons, none of which I want to elaborate on right now, that we make this as short and concise as possible. And something like the NA Railo endorses the creation of a consensus policy, making the use of the redemption grace period mandatory, and requests the ALAC to take appropriate action.
Oh, that's perfect.
Endorses the creation of a consensus policy. Say that rest again.
To enforce the registrar use of the redemption grace period. And requests that the ALAC take appropriate action.
Thanks, Alan.
Robert's already indicated his intention to second that. Anyone opposed?
Okay. I'm assuming it was my words, but Danny moved it, right?
Yes.
Correct.
Okay.
Danny moved.
Because I don't think I have the standing to make a motion.
Why not? You're a member of the community.
But I'm not formally a member or a representative of an ALS or an individual.
Well, neither
member.
Am I, Alan. So big deal.
Oh well, someone better pretend quick.
No, we invite and welcome individual members here.
Okay, I thought one had to take some formal action to in fact put that in place. I'll send you my application form.
You're here, aren't you?
Okay.
Okay. Danny moved. Robert seconded. Any opposed? Is there any further discussion on this necessary? Okay. Adopted by consensus. Yay.
What's next, Evan?
Okay. Next on here is comprehensive review of the accreditation process. Danny, would you like to give a few more two cents on that one?
18 months ago, our CEO, Paul Toomey, made a promise to the world, indicating that what was warranted in view of what had happened with respect to RegisterFly was a comprehensive review of the registrar accreditation process and the content of the RAA. Thus far, we've seen ICANN staff proceed to deal with the content of the RAA, but here it is a year and a half later. We still have not had a comprehensive review of the accreditation processes themselves. This is particularly important because we've had reports in the Washington Post that the CEO of one particular ICANN accredited registrar is a convicted felon, that the conviction is recorded on the website of the Ministry of Justice in Estonia. I myself sent a letter to Stacey Burnett, Director of Compliance, on September 8th, and know that she herself was in Estonia on the 10th and 11th of September. So supposedly this stuff is being looked into by compliance, but it still raises the issue, where is the actual review itself? Why haven't we seen it? It's 18 months down the road. Nothing has been forthcoming. this is the reason why I suggested drafting a short little note to Paul Toomey, basically saying, look, it's been long enough. Get this review out there so that we can comment on it.
Any comments? Questions?
This is Gareth. There's enough issues around this whole thing, and Danny knows that I raised one of these months ago about registrars that are playing fast and loose with the rules. I certainly think something should be done about this.
Oh, let me give you an update on that, Gareth, real quick. That particular outfit created their own new reseller. So we've got a registrar owning a reseller that's now going by the name Domain Renewal Group that continues to send out these misleading expiration notices. And when the public writes into ICANN complaining about it, ICANN writes back to them saying, I'm sorry, but this is not an ICANN-accredited registrar. We can't do anything about it.
Oh, good grief.
Yeah, I agree with Gareth. There just seem to be numerous examples of this, and you know, we just heard from Tim Cole that he feels, you know, it's inappropriate that we say that enforcement is not taking place. And you know, while I like and respect him, I mean, there's just a disconnect between what we're seeing in real life and the kinds of complaints we're hearing from our own people and constituents, and what's happening in reality.
Okay. So as a matter of an action issue from this meeting, Danny, what are you requesting? That we make a request of directly from Paul Toomey, or?
Yeah, because, I mean, Paul is the one that brought it up, and Paul indicated that a review was warranted. So now we're simply calling him on it, asking him, you know, where is it?
Okay.
I think the, I put through on the comment page above Alan's comment a short clarification rewrite of the note that I suggested writing to Paul, which makes it just a little bit clearer.
Should it be to Peter Dengate Thrush as well, or just Paul?
I would follow the guidelines that staff recently laid down, whereby the things that we want going to essentially the board wind up getting copied to Peter, to the CEO, to Robert Hogarth, there was a list of people.
Well, we just need to go to Jeffrey Williams' CC list. I think we got everyone.
Yeah. John Jeffries in particular, he'd want to copy it too, I suppose.
Part of my question is whether or not you want to make the request directly of these guys, or whether or not we want to send this to ALAC and ask them to do it. Does it have more weight or more meaning in your opinion, or should we just do it direct?
I think we should do it direct, only because the Register Fly thing was primarily a North American issue.
I agree.
I mean, I would copy in, obviously. Aside from the list of people you've just mentioned, obviously I would copy in Cheryl.
Of course.
Naturally.
If ALAC wants to take it up, ALAC can.
Sure.
Doesn't have to be relayed to them for action.
Okay. That's the case. I think, Danny, you've already got a draft of a letter ready. So what I'm going to suggest is we'll put this letter out one more time to the list. And if there's no objections to it, then we'll put it out and send it to the CC list you recommend.
That sounds fair.
Yeah, I've got a question for Danny and for Bo. My recollection is there was some discussion, but I can't remember if it's in this version or some future version, that the RAA will say that registrars will take some responsibility for what their resellers do or enforce things. Can either of you elaborate? Is there something like that, or am I imagining it?
I don't believe there is.
Actually, Bo, there is a red line section
basically
says that if a registrar notes a breach on the part of a reseller, then registrar is obligated to bring that to the reseller's attention. So in this particular case, you would have a registrar sending out bogus expiration letters saying to himself as the reseller, gee, you shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah, but they can play Sergeant Schultz and say, I see nothing, I hear nothing.
There you go. So, no, it's not strong language that's in there, Bo. It's very weak.
Okay.
But on the other hand, once it is brought to their attention by someone, they would have an obligation under those words. Is that correct, Danny?
The obligation is only to advise the reseller of an issue.
Okay.
Okay. So, Danny, if you can just put out the latest draft of the letter you'd like sent, we'll do one last once-over of the mailing list, and then I will send it under my role as chair to the CC list.
Very good.
Sorry if I missed this, but did you also put Avery Doria on that list?
No, but I don't mind as a matter of courtesy.
I mean, you don't have to. It just seems like it would be germane.
Agreed.
That's reasonable.
Okay, consider it done.
I mean, I don't even have a problem. I don't have an objection to actually putting it on the ICANN wiki. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's a public statement.
Putting
okay.
it on a wiki is not the same as pushing it to people who you feel you owe courtesy to tell about.
Understood. One doesn't negate the other, but we
no.
do both. Okay. Does this require a motion? I don't think it does.
No, not at this time. It's simply a case of, per your instructions, me getting the language of the note sent to the list.
Okay. All right, next on the agenda, the ALAC statement to the RIA, which I guess is sort of moot at this point since that's already been sent by the ALAC to the board, unless there's any comments on that at this point.
If anyone didn't vote on it, if the period's still open, they should, but I think it's closed already.
I suppose we could ask staff, since we haven't seen any staff summary or analysis of any comments submitted thus far, well, we might actually expect to see staff doing its job.
I happen to know that Tim is working on it, actually.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I don't think it'll be long. I mean, that was the impression I got when I talked to him last Friday.
All right.
Part of the delay was that he was waiting until the ALAC statement was finished so that he could incorporate it. So,
Nick, only semi-germane to this discussion, is there any reason that when an ALAC vote is going on, we can't see who has voted and which way they voted? I mean, it's equivalent to raising the hands in a face-to-face meeting.
Yes. Yeah, it's just by convention being there was actually an objection registered quite a while ago, I think by Wendy, but I'm not absolutely certain, back when she was still a member of ALAC, or it might have been Jacqueline. Anyway, there was an objection raised that if it was completely visible how people were voting, that might affect the way other people voted.
As it does in when I hold my hand at my shoulder and don't raise it up, deciding whether I want to or not.
I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm
okay.
simply saying
that is okay, it's not the result of a random setting. There was some reason, so we need to discuss it more formally.
That's all. I mean, we can certainly change it. That voting method is available.
Yeah.
Without getting into anal Robert's Rules of Order mode, isn't the convention simply to have an open vote unless someone requests it closed?
Well, apparently someone might have requested it. So ALAC needs to discuss further. Okay.
Do we have the results of that vote yet, by the way?
Which one?
The RAA vote.
No, I think they're all going to be published either later tonight or tomorrow, because we're also publishing who didn't vote.
Okay, so we will eventually find out on the non-com voting who didn't vote there as well?
That one, I think, is a closed vote, isn't
it? The non-com? There is, I believe, on the non-com vote, because of the way that vote was set, we can't tell who didn't vote, but I think that Big Pulse has a way to look behind the scenes to tell us that.
I vaguely thought our rules of procedure said that when we're voting for people, that we don't disclose the,
that's
the detailed
been the convention.
Results. We could disclose who didn't vote, I suppose. But not
that's
not
it.
Which way they voted.
That's right.
I believe.
That is the convention.
I mean, when you've got one-third of the ALAC not voting on non-com, I mean,
but
you know.
In fact, Danny, you don't know that. It could have been a different 10 people in each of the elections.
Okay.
For the non-com, for that particular position, I can see someone saying, I really know nothing about either of these people. I have no basis for making a decision.
Well,
they should have abstained.
They're not doing their job being informed.
It's not an easy thing to be informed of. Anyways, I'm just saying that one I could understand more, but it's not 100% clear that it's the same 10 people in both. It may well have been.
Okay.
The only difference might have been Patrick Vandewalle. I don't think he was. Urelo had election had finished when that vote was held.
No, I don't think he had.
Yeah. So he would be the only different voter between that
and
vote.
I don't think we had an abstain in that vote, did we?
Should have been.
Well, okay.
Anyway, there'll shortly be an omnibus posting with all of these, because there's been so much voting of late that it's kind of hard to keep up with. Kind of hard to get it right, actually. In fact, we just managed
Evan, can we move on to the topic of phantom registrars, perhaps?
Well, yes. That, in fact, as a budget, as an agenda item, that was actually lumped together with the comprehensive review. Did you want to deal with them separately?
I continue to be troubled by the fact that ICANN is not publishing the registrar accreditation applications. If we were able to look at the application for S Domains or for Brandon Gray Internet Services, we'd be in a position to determine whether they were honest about answering question number 12 that puts forward the question as to whether any directors, officers, etc., have ever been convicted of any felonies. In the event that there's a material misrepresentation, then under the current language of the RAA, ICANN can move immediately to ask for de-accreditation. So I would very much like to see those documents made public, and I believe we have a right under the accountability and transparency frameworks, which was approved by the board in Delhi, to request that certain documents be made public.
So you're saying you want to put this in the form of a specific request under that framework?
Yes, because on our list, so far we've talked about two registrars in particular, Brandon Gray Internet Services that Gareth first raised, and S Domains that I brought to the attention of the list, both of whom have had individuals on their staff convicted of crimes.
Yeah. Do we know for sure that these applications, that ICANN doesn't warrant that these applications will be kept confidential?
In the application process itself, it indicates that the registrar has to submit a separate letter of intent to make certain sections confidential.
Okay.
If that letter was not submitted, then anything else is fair game.
Okay, good.
Nick, is there a specific process to submit requests? I mean, it's sounding a little bit like a Freedom of Information Act request.
ICANN has not established a process yet, not that I'm aware of. So this will be groundbreaking, I suppose.
So we don't even know really who to ask.
I believe Kieran told me on a totally separate issue that this had not been used so far, this process.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll just figure out how it gets used by sending the letter to, Jeffries.
Yeah, I would copy us in here, too.
Well, actually, specifically Kieran, given that this is this thing. Okay, Danny, do you have a letter, or do you need some help in drafting something?
I would appreciate getting some help in drafting this because this is new for all of us. Perhaps Nick could correspond with me on the topic and give me some suggestions of how it should be put forward.
I can ask and find out for you if anyone has any thoughts. Or
I'll tell you what, if you want to CC me on that, if I've got some spare cycles, I can help with that as well.
Okay, good.
Okay. Well, somebody's got some music going. Okay. Somebody put us on hold.
Sounds like it.
Hope it's gone.
Okay. So the action item from that is that Danny, Nick, and myself, does anybody else have an interest in participating in this groundbreaking request? Okay. So the three of us will go offline, draft a letter to circulate to the... to circulate to the North American list, and when complete, We will submit this to whoever requires submission to for this disclosure. This is good. Okay. Two things on the bottom, two last things on the agenda that are sort of nebulous, but are there nonetheless. One of which is at-large travel procedures, and the other one is a registrant's Bill of Rights call for volunteers. Who wanted to put the last one on the agenda, the call for volunteers for the Bill of Rights?
I think that was probably Danny, although I wanted to also do it, but I think that's kind of made some things have kind of changed and progressed on that, I think, that Nick would probably be more qualified to talk about at this point than I would be.
Maybe. Sorry, I was kind of typing up the stuff that I'm doing.
Nick, when the call went out for volunteers, how many new volunteers signed up to the working group?
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head. There were a number of people who joined the list, but I'd have to look it up, to be honest with you.
All right.
Well, I was referring more to the sorry, Evan, I didn't know if this is a topic you want to address now or.
Well, go ahead. I mean, we've got 15 minutes left in the call. The things that we needed specific action on have been dealt with.
Okay. Well, Cheryl, I think, or the ALEC Executive Committee, I think, has chose to sort of split the responsibilities, correct? So that there are, so that there's a distinguishing duties between establishing the registrar code of conduct and then the actual working with the registrars on that, and also, in other words, decoupling the code of conduct from the RAA itself, even though it's mentioned in the RAA. And I think there's been some discussion about establishing separate working groups for those elements. With Cheryl, I believe, expressing interest in leading the code of conduct one, is that correct?
I think Cheryl has got Rudy Vasnik from Belgium tapped as the current chair of that particular initiative, but she's contributing by way of the AUDA documents on Registrar Code of Conduct initiatives.
Okay.
Well, just from the point of view of the registrant's rights and responsibilities, this has been frequently brought up as a summit a topic of some interest. Now, the summit isn't going to be happening until the spring, but it has been something that has been mentioned repeatedly as something that would be an appropriate topic for the summit. There is a summit working group conference call in 2 days, and it's my understanding that that may be one of the things that comes up in terms of programming. I don't know about the timing, though. If the summit component of this doesn't happen until February, does that sort of screw up what people here had in mind?
Evan, this is Danny. I guess my primary concern is that registrant rights and responsibilities under the RAA is somewhat of a misnomer. When you have a no third-party beneficiaries clause in the RAA, it essentially means that registrants have no rights. Now, with respect to the summit, it was my understanding that there were folks primarily out of Europe that had an interest in promoting an Internet Bill of Rights, which is somewhat of a different animal.
That is correct. However, when that request is challenged in saying that ICANN has a somewhat less broad mandate, then the response I've received has been, well, then let's restrict what we can do to those things that are under ICANN's mandate, which go to things like registrants' rights.
No, but I can see a real difference between what Danny's talking about right now and what those out of Europe want as an Internet Bill of Rights. It's an Internet User's Bill of Rights, sorry. And to me, it's totally separate issues.
Oh, no, I agree. Sorry if I didn't answer the question properly in saying that when I've spoken to the Europeans about that and basically said that the summit needs to stay within the bounds of what ICANN does, then there's a willingness to at least work under that limited component. They'd like ICANN to do the broader document, but understand probably that that's not going to happen in Mexico.
For what it's worth, I think, well, from what I have heard, I mean, talking to, like, Rudy Van Snick, for example, I think there's an obvious understanding that ICANN is unable to compel CCTLD operators, for example, to ascribe to a code of conduct or the registrars who are not contracted with ICANN, but they do see value in a quote-unquote global standard, or to basically raise the bar and help put pressure on those who are outside of the ICANN contract system to adhere to it anyway, voluntarily or otherwise. So I don't know if that helps you, but I think they see value in it for that reason.
At a certain point, you create a document and then put pressure on various parties to sign onto it.
Well, you don't put pressure on. The existence puts pressure on.
Well, and to the extent that it's a collaborative effort, you know, to the extent they buy in, that may have value too.
Well, I did
talk to John Nevitt, for what it's worth, and he did express that he was willing to certainly have a conversation about both, under both efforts, and participating in both efforts. It was somewhat lukewarm on the subject. I think in part because the registrars feel that they got a lot of grief for the existing proposals that were put out for public comment, and I think they feel unloved, to put it in a really simplistic way.
Good.
But you'll get what I mean by saying that. Basically.
Unloved but rich.
Well, some of them. I think a lot of them are pretty small, but could be wrong there.
Okay. Have we beaten this one to death? Okay. There's one last thing. We've got 10 minutes left on the call, and the only thing remaining on the agenda is the issue of the travel policy. There's been a lot of to and fro on this, and what I'd like to find out, Nick, in terms of timing, obviously there's a lot of confusion going on about what the process is for actually turning something that was originally intended as, here's a point of reference, now let's talk to the parties and hone it down. There's a lot of feeling of, oh, this was foisted upon us and nobody's being consulted. There's been no real process laid down for, here's a travel policy, we need to talk to our stakeholders and before we can finalize something. I can't speak for anybody else, but speaking for myself, there's a real huge amount of confusion going on of the way this whole thing's been handled.
Well, I think, there's sort of, if I get you right, there's sort of two subjects here. There is what happened prior to now with the travel policy that was originally posted, and what happened in the generation of that policy and the process that was gone, the issues with the process that was used to create it. And then there is secondarily, going forward, how is the process to work to consult on the travel policy before next year? Is that correct?
Well, yeah. I mean, okay. I guess I'm just expressing my frustration at what seemed to be a pattern of toss something out and everyone gets mad at it and we can't have a good discussion.
Sure. There isn't a magic formula. Obviously, in the response that Doug and Denise sent, for the two of them, amongst other proposals, is that an in-depth consultation take place between now and, in particular, the Mexico City meeting, to look at not just travel funding, but much more broadly at the requirements speaking from the perspective of this constituency, the requirements that the at-large community has in order to effectively participate as different from the requirements that some other community may need. And there isn't a magic way to do that. Certainly, I've thought about this several times and thought about, well, how would I even originate sort of a discussion paper for all of you in hopes that that would be helpful, which I really should do, I suppose, if you think it would be useful. But I guess my best suggestion would be perhaps this could be some meaningful time could be set aside on this subject. Travel, but also the broader, you know, what does the community overall actually need? Because there have been other concerns raised about the way budgets are done and the amount of funding allocated for outreach and all kinds of things, as you know. And so maybe some time could be set aside in Cairo to sort of talk about how you all wish to address this. How can we help?
Well, if that's the case, Nick, why don't you schedule a meeting perhaps between yourself, Denise, and some of the ALAC people and the RALO people that are going to be there for that express purpose? Because that's definitely, if it's happening now with the travel policy, as you say, with things like outreach and budget, this is going to come up again. There needs to be something a little bit more open and transparent. Robert?
Yeah, thanks, Seven. On this point, I think that if, you know, I'm more, you know, I'm quite in favor of having a discussion in November about this, but I think for those who can't make it to the meeting, I think NARALO should have a discussion about it. And so, you know, ahead of the November meeting, if we can get, you know, some direction, you know, I see these calls as an opportunity to get a sense from the community what we need to put forward. And so between now and November, it would be good to advance it and not just get a briefing there, but actually, you know, if there's any, you know, if there's any news, if there's any specific things that the North America region can put forward at the meeting in regards to it, you know, I'd like for that to happen before the meeting and not at the meeting, because then we exclude everyone who's on this call.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you, Robert, for volunteering to send a message out to the list soliciting input on this.
It'll be done in a few minutes.
I have another comment which doesn't go along with volunteering.
yeah, put me in the queue too.
If there is going to be a discussion between senior ICANN management and at-large or ALAC or whatever in Cairo, it would be really nice if we talked ahead of time and got our story straight so we don't all go in there asking for different gimmies.
Well, actually, this is absolutely imperative. I mean, Nick, you remember that there was a conference call, but I think that was done before an ALAC meeting or something like that some weeks ago, and very little got done because by the time everyone just got a chance to spew, there was no chance for any kind of interaction.
Well, I mean, I think the reason that, I mean, part of that was because of the meeting before it ran long, if I remember, but in truth, there is time for this discussion. I mean, we do have time, so... I'm certainly happy to do whatever I can to facilitate it, and to, you know, to provide whatever support I can. I just wouldn't want people to think, you know, Cairo's a magic end date, because it's not meant to be.
Cairo may be better used to talk about what it is we want on not just on travel but on all the related things than trying to formulate a position by then and present it and discuss it.
Actually,
I think
Nick,
that might be a bit too tight.
Sorry. Nick, I can answer at least from one point of view. Is I think the reason that some people thought that it had to be done with hastily is because that at the time that it was originally announced, as you know, there were a number of changes to the status quo that were being made immediately.
Yeah.
Some of those have since been rescinded, but I think that gave a sense of panic. That certain elements of that policy were being put into place long before they had been... totally discussed.
No, I certainly understand where the motivation comes from. I just wanted everyone to know that this isn't the last bite on the apple by any means, Cairo. I mean, I think what Alan's suggesting, you know, if you like, I'll produce something like a discussion paper, which basically is just my, you know, from my working with all of you for 2 years, what are the things that I have found you have repeatedly requested support for? And what issues have I seen you all encounter in trying to respond to issues and needing information and, you know, all the things that have been spoken of.
I have understanding. I noticed that in the ALAC review statement put forward by the AP RALA, at the end of their statement, they indicate that they are not in favor of any travel support for members whose performance criteria is not up to speed. I think as an RALA, we can support the notion that we expect our representatives to be on top of their performance obligations, attending the teleconferences, attending the meetings, and that no travel support is warranted if in the future members go into default.
As long as it's handled intelligently, I can live with that.
Well spoken, Evan.
No, the last thing I can think of is punishing somebody for poor attendance by making it harder for them to attend.
Well, all I'm looking at is the fact that the ALAC members set their own rules. If they want to modify their rules at this point, that's fine. But once rules are in place, if somebody's not performing up to expectations, I don't think it's incumbent upon us to provide travel support for somebody like that.
I do agree with you there, Danny. My point, though, is that if I'm an ALAC person, and if I attend every telephone meeting and just put the thing on mute and I just sit there for an hour doing whatever I'm doing, you know, and basically don't have any input, I go to all the meetings, then it would look like I am your best ALAC rep ever. And
no,
really, when I'm
I
be sitting there doing
that
nothing.
I understand the system can be gamed.
The issue is the rules for participation cannot be purely quantitative based on attendance. They have to be much more subjective. That makes it difficult, but that's the only way you're going to end up with anything at approaching some level of fairness and quality for money, as it were.
All right. I guess the other point that I'd like to make is, having taken a look at ICANN's projections over the next couple of years for increased revenue, where they're going from $61 million to $67 million next year and on upwards, I find it disgusting that we're even having conversations about limited travel support with formulas that only provide travel to half of a particular community, when by rights the entire community of folks that are contributing to the policy process should be supported in its entirety. I mean, I'm astounded that ICANN is even considering the type of travel policy that they put forward.
This is Bo. I think that might be the best direction to argue for some real results.
Okay. And since we're 1 minute over the hour, we're probably not going to settle that here. Okay. I noticed that Robert has put up the email, so we've started the call for discussion. Robert, if it's quick, you got the last word.
I'd like 30 seconds at the end of the meeting, not recorded.
Okay.
I have a positive announcement, too, if you want to hear it later.
Okay.
Just seeing how the travel policy discussion was going, I look forward to a good discussion ahead, and just tells us that there are, you know, a couple of additional points, some of which Danny mentioned, that we should try to develop ahead of November. It'll be very helpful. So I count on everyone's comments.
Okay. Okay, Nick, you're next.
In the transparency department, I think we all know that the wonderful archives of mailing lists are just so attractive, so modern, and it's so easy to navigate around to find all the mailing list archives. So I decided, hopefully you don't disagree, that I would see if we couldn't put in place some better archiving solutions that would actually allow people to go to one location and see all the archives and also search them, and which would also be much more friendly to non-Latin script postings as those become more common. And
did you say
so
you found us something, or are you looking for something?
I have found us something. It's called MHonArch, which some of you who know.
Oh, we know that.
You know that stuff. Okay. Well, there's actually a couple of products combined together that produce a single place where you can go and search all archives. So I'm working on that with our vendor. But with any luck, by Cairo, it will be fixed.
Actually, you should have a chat with Kent Crispin, because he knows his way around that pretty well.
Yeah, I am. Okay. I'm also, we're also in the final stages. It doesn't affect you all very much, but we're also in the final stages of the testing of a new mailing list translation interface that will allow us to turn on mailing list translation in the regions that need it again. But will also allow ICANN to do things like have translated versions of like read archives for like the council list and this kind of thing, mail languages. Not perfect translations, mind you, but you know, a hell of a lot more than
And just, okay, so...
I've got a question.
Make it quick.
Yeah, Nick, is there any reason that different parts of ICANN use different mailing list products? Or is that something that's going to be...
There are two. There's Majordomo and Mailman.
Yeah.
The reason why we have our own system is because ICANN's lists are not self-service to the extent that we have. And by having our lists on one service provider, you can go to that one page and see all the lists and subscribe to the ones you want.
Okay.
So that was deliberate on my part to make it easier to use for us.
Okay. We're 4 minutes over the hour. Alan wants his 30 seconds.
I just want to know, for those who are going to Cairo, has anyone received stuff back about arrangements and stuff? I want to know, am I unique or is everything delayed?
I've received an apology from Stacy, who basically says things have been up in the air because they weren't sure whether or not we were going to be funded to be there on the Saturday.
Ah, okay.
I haven't received anything.
Nick, is that in line with what you know?
Yeah, and it is sort of that will be okay.
Yeah, that doesn't apply to me, so I guess I still have a problem I need to resolve. Okay.
All right, and anybody going to Washington, feel free to shoot me a note. That's for the institutional confidence session coming up on October 1st.
Robert, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
No, in Washington.
Not yet, but might be there by that date.
Okay, cool. All right. Alan, was that the 30 seconds off?
That was it.
Okay. Then if that's the case, we're 5 minutes over... Seth, Eduardo, you guys have not had much to say. Is there any last words you'd like to get in before we close off?
No, just getting acquainted with what's going on, but I keep reading all the emails that come fly about.
Okay.
Okay, Danny, I'll call you in 2 minutes.
Okay, that sounds good. And
okay.
Nick, just convey my thanks to Stacy Burnett for responding on the WDPRS. And let her know that I've already been in touch with the single largest contributor.
Great. Yeah, I hope that was useful.
Yes.
Okay. If
okay.
that's the case, then all right. We're 6 minutes after the hour, and thank you all for coming. I know it wasn't usual for us to extend our monthly meeting to a second hour, so I thank you for taking the time out, and we'll see you next month.
Okay, bye all.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Left.
Bo Brendler.
Left.
Eduardo Diaz.
Left.
Danny.
Left.
Robert Guerra.
Left.
Gareth Sherman.
Left.
Darlene.
Left.
Nick.
Left.
Seth Reese.
Left.
Evan Leibovich.
Left.